We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Gotta ask, you know, you got another long losing streak. You got some fans chanting for you to be fired in the stands. How's that affect morale of the players? Are players, maybe coaches, coaching for their jobs, including yourself? How do you feel about all that?
You know, all we're doing right now is we're doing everything we can to get ready for this Detroit game. That's it. That's our focus. And
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That was on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. That was Pat Cassidy and Josh Liss, who were talking to Matt Nagy, who appears to be the outgoing coach of the Chicago Bears, based on a report from our next guest. Mark Conkle writes for Patch.com. The former Sun-Timesman and Pulitzer Prize winner joins us on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Mark, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. The timing of this and the way this is being handled is interesting to me. What more do you know about this particular, the structure of this decision? Why one more game on national TV for Nagy as a lame duck?
You know, I can't really read the mind of the Bears. I don't think anybody can. And obviously, I'm not a reporter who, like you guys are in the locker room and with the team every day. This kind of just fell in my lap, but it's a very good source. And, there's a lot of reasons that it makes sense. I mean, 5-game losing streak, fans chanting fire Nagy at Bears games. And also I heard at, Lake Forest High School, where Nagy's kid goes to school. And this year the Bears seem to, in my opinion, cave the public pressure. I mean, it's an important year for them. They announced, their plans to possibly move to Arlington Heights, and everybody wanted Justin Fields to play as soon as, Andy Dalton tweaked his knee, and, that's where we're going with this. And, after the last game as a Bears fan, some of the questionable coaching decisions kind of put it in the forefront, especially towards the end of the game when he had to burn a timeout because he couldn't decide whether to go for two or kick the extra point. So there's a lot of circumstantial stuff there, but, I've got a good source on this, and, I'm pretty confident in it.
I don't think anybody's debating that whether or not it is the right move. I think everyone after that game agreed that it was over and it was going to be over, and everyone knew. I think Nagy himself probably knew that it was a matter of when and not if. But for the Bears, the fact that when is sooner rather than later is newsworthy in and of itself. The next question that I have is, at what level of the organization was the decision made? Because in a healthier organization, you would have an executive in charge who is about to go hire his coach. And there are some who believe that Ryan Pace, the ostensible leader of the football operation, isn't on particularly solid ground himself.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't cover the Bears day to day, so I really couldn't get into the minutia like that. It's a good question. But, you know, as a Bears fan, I want them to win. I want them to go to the playoffs. And, the situation that we have this year with Nagy, and, ever since the double doink, it's been a downward decline. It just seems like, you really can't tell what the Bears are going to do. All of a sudden they're going to move to the suburbs. And, they've got a high-quality rookie quarterback that's injured now. playing in games when he's got a long future ahead of him, and the season seems to be lost under Nagy. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation on that front, but, you know, hopefully we'll get more answers.
I was just going to ask, what's next from your perspective? You mentioned that this story sort of fell in your lap. Is there more to be done from this source? Is there more to be cultivated? And I don't know how you and your bosses go about deciding what, you know, rises to the level of reporting it with this kind of confidence.
You know, this is just one of those things where, you know, it's going to unfold the way it's going to unfold. And I think that we're, you know, usually Nagy doesn't talk to the press on Tuesdays, but I think because it's a short week, maybe reporters will get a chance to talk to him today. Hopefully that's the case.
Do you think it's possible, and again, this may be, I'm asking what you, I don't know what you have been told by a source that isn't okay to divulge, but now the fact that this is out now could accelerate the timetable. Could it not? I mean, if he's supposed to speak today, my gut feeling tells me we're not done with this, the timeline of this story shifting right now because you broke this, that this may have been something the team didn't necessarily want out.
Well, I'm sure they didn't want it out, you know. You know, the timeline, you know, that'll be up to the Bears. You know, I really don't know how to answer that one. Really, I mean, this is going to be the dominant conversation whenever the Bears, you know, have a press conference, and you know, with all the reports of, you know, Nagy, you know, losing the locker room, you know, the 5-0 loss, questionable coaching decisions, you know, he stopped calling plays halfway through the season, quarterback controversy, you know, the deck stacked against them, so. You know, and it's, you know, we've got a short week with, you know, Thanksgiving game. You know, you bring in a new head coach now, you know, he's got short time to be with the team after Thanksgiving. There's 10 days before the next game. So, you know, that plays into effect, you know. In my opinion, it probably could. But
Mark, appreciate the time, and thank you for completely disrupting the workday of everyone who covers the Bears in Chicago today. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're happy Thanksgiving.
You too. Mark Konkol of Patch.com, whose report gave us the breaking news that it's just a handful of sentences here. I'll bring it to you again as we began our show. This is at Patch.com, which is a suburban news outlet. For disgruntled Bears fans looking at something to be thankful for after 5 straight losses, this is it. Matt Nagy will coach his last game for the Bears on Thanksgiving in Detroit, a top source with knowledge of the decision told Patch. Nagy was informed of his pending post-Turkey Day termination on Monday, the source said. Nagy, hired in 2018, is the first Bears coach to be fired midseason in franchise history. This is a developing story. I also have checked in with sources at Hallis Hall to see if I can find out what is going on now. My guess is meetings and more meetings and determining whether or not in, what, an hour and 45 minutes, Nagy is going to come out there and address all of these questions, because you have to ask these questions. Were you fired? Were you? This is extremely awkward right now. And there's a little bit more breaking news as well, based on what we talked about in transition regarding the unfortunate chant at the high school game last night, that there were students of the Lake Forest High School opponent that were chanting "Fire Nagy." The principal of Cary Grove High School has sent out a letter. Now, this is, we've got a copy of this, and thanks to our friends at WBBM News Radio 780 for making us aware of this, but this is a copy of a letter from the principal, Dr. Neil Lisinski of Cary Grove High School, who says, to the families of Cary Grove High School and Lake Forest High School, at the recent Cary Grove versus Lake Forest 6A high school football game played Saturday, members of the Cary Grove student body began a chant targeting the parent of one of the Lake Forest team members and his family. On behalf of Cary Grove High School, I want to assure our community that the chant was not acceptable nor appropriate. It was immediately addressed by administration at the game. We also felt it was important to meet with our student superfans that lead our chants and cheers to talk about what happened and give them an opportunity to reflect and correct their actions. As the school principal, I want to apologize to the Lake Forest student athlete and his family for the disrespectful chant. I want to congratulate the Lake Forest Scouts on a great season. We hope to have the opportunity to compete with them again said it's our number one goal to instill in our students a sense of pride in their school and sports teams. We work hard to teach them to demonstrate that pride in positive, encouraging, and supportive ways. We hope to learn from the situation. We've taken steps to ensure this does not happen again. That's well handled by Cary Grove principal Neil Lisinski, apparently at a game involving Matt Nagy's son, a high school football game, that the chant erupted, fire Nagy. One thing, if you're talking about at the Bulls game, and we did hear it at the Bulls game, because you didn't want to watch Bulls basketball last night. It gave you certainly maybe better and different things to do, but not okay to do that at when it involves the guy's kid who's there just playing football. That's a line you're not supposed to cross, and it was high school kids apparently and not adults who made that decision, and maybe they'll be better informed if this is well handled, as it does seem to be by the Cary Grove principal. 312-644-6767. It's the Bernstein Rahimi Show. Dan Bernstein with you right now. And if you want to jump in, I know we all have a million questions, and I promise you I have the same questions you have. What does this mean about the future of the Bears? How far does this go? Who's going to coach the team? Obviously, the Bears themselves now are learning of this and talking about this, and this is a bell that cannot be unrung. And it already was getting to that point yesterday. I was raring to go today. I came in here with a bunch of notes to talk about the fact that if you are going to do this, if the Bears ever were going to do this in season, this is the time, this is that situation to do it. And it seems like at least someone up there has beaten me to the punch. There is a speculation on the text line, well, this is Ryan Pace trying to save his job. I don't think so. I don't think that that would be a shallow and transparent move. I don't think Ryan Pace is running into anybody's office and saying, I'm in charge of football, I'm getting rid of the coach, and these are my next head coaches, and I'm going to get on with this and fix everything that's going on. That's possible. I don't think it's highly plausible. Certainly in a well-run organization, it is not something you would see, because there would be people above this who are already imagining what the next steps are. This is, of course, complicated by this Thursday game and by the quick turnaround. Look, if the Raiders could do it, if the Raiders could just say, I guess we got to fire our coach and name a guy and go out there, and you can do it. A lot of these players are professional enough that they're still going to show up in their positional group meetings, and they're going to run the film, and there is enough institutional knowledge for them to go about what they're doing amid all of these strange circumstances. But as things develop, we're going to let you know. We're going to find out exactly what you think about everything, and every time we come back from break, we're probably going to have more information on what's going on. So keep it here. You've got that news that, at least according to one report from a reputable reporter, that Matt Nagy has been told that he is coaching on Thanksgiving for the last time as Chicago Bears head coach. And then it's on to something else. As we know more, you will too. You have the score.
Honestly, how many games have we lost in a row? Yeah, there's nothing to talk about. What are we? I mean, you're not going to beat a dead horse. I mean, like I said, we're all men. So, I mean, coming in here and saying we got to figure out a way, I mean, to me is BS. Like, we're not going to keep talking. Like, we got to find ways to win. We got to just get it done. I mean, whatever it is. Like, I mean, like I said, whatever it is. But there's nothing to keep coming in here and talking about and having all these rah-rah speeches. Like, we've had 5 weeks of rah-rah speeches. So, I mean, I don't think that talking is anything that we need to be doing.
Oh, boy.
Jalen Johnson, that's the guy you remember was fined for tardiness early this year and was not happy about it. So Matt Nagy spoke to him about what was okay to put on social media and what was not. So we don't know how he feels, as Bears players right now, I'm sure, are firing away in their group chats and getting everybody up to speed. They're at Halas Hall right now. Matt Nagy is scheduled to speak in an hour and 20 minutes. And he is, who knows if they're going to cancel it or what they're going to do, but we're keeping an eye on the schedule.
And we will be carrying that live.
Yes. If in fact it happens.
Yes.
We absolutely will be carrying it live, because there are several reporters who are doubtful it's actually going to happen. It could be that at that point, someone else representative of the Bears organization has to come out and say something, even if it's at this point reading nothing but a short statement. I don't think it's going to be Ryan Pace. I don't think it can be Ryan Pace at this point. I really don't. What's amazing, though, is what were the odds that a story like this would be someone other than Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport coming out with it. And we know that Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport, their source for something like this would be Matt Nagy himself. That's how these things work. They text him or they call him and he says stuff, and that's how it all comes out. In just a couple of seconds, I want you to hear some stuff that was said yesterday, and especially when we heard it on these airwaves, hearing from podcaster Jordan Schultz, who works with Allen Robinson on the podcast, that we heard some things yesterday that now we've got a little bit of retroactive context. If, in fact, by the time that conversation was actually occurring, Matt Nagy had already been told he was coaching his last game. I asked for some feedback. We'll get some feedback. Sean in Houston, you are on the Bernstein Rahimi Show on The Score.
Hey, Dan, how's it going, man?
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to call him in and pound the table for the coach that I believe is going to take the Super Bowl to the Bears to the Super Bowl and win it. It's Jim Harbaugh. Now, hear me out. I know a lot of people don't think Jim is the right coach, but it worked for Papa Bear when he went in and wrote the letter for Mike Ditka to bring him back to the culture. We need to get that same mentality and have Virginia write a letter to Jim Harbaugh to come back and restore the respect and dignity of the Chicago Bears. He understands the culture. His offensive philosophy.
I don't want anybody. Why is understanding the Bears culture good?
It's a good thing because we want to run the ball and play tough defense and have a mentality.
No, I want to score points.
Tough and mental.
I want to score points.
We're going to score points.
I know. So
Justin Fields can score points on the rollout on an action, play action fake.
He had
Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, he took him to the Super Bowl.
Sean, here's where we'll disagree. I don't think the Bears should be bound in anything that they're doing right now by anything regarding Mike Ditka or the past. Any of it. I think what needs to be done is, if it were up to me, and you're talking about me, the former Bears reporter, longtime Bears observer, and still self-hating fan, that you tell Ted Phillips, go build a stadium. Go do what you've done. You go to Arlington Heights, and you are president of business operations. You are Crane Phillips. And then you find your Theo Epstein to run your football side. I know it's different that way, and the sport is still held back by football people doing football things and not necessarily MBAs and JDs like baseball and other sports are. But find that person and have that person hire a general manager who is then going to hire a coach and start that process as soon as you can. Also, I'm reminded Jim Boylan is still fired, so that's good. And I'm just going to sort of keep that in the back of my head as all of this rolls on. I mentioned that yesterday we had breaking news from Jordan Schultz, who hosts a podcast with Allen Robinson, talking about the locker room being lost. So Shane Reardon, the executive producer of the Parkinson Spiegel Show, gave him a call, grabbed him, said, you want to come on? And indeed he did. And both Parkins and Spiegel had questions for Jordan Schultz. Here's what he said about the Bears situation.
When it comes to the locker room, which we know isn't the end all and be all, but certainly matters. I think last season he lost some of it. And from what I'm told now, it's really just gone. And when you talk about a team that's been decimated by injuries, you know, that's one thing. But when you don't have faith in your head coach, especially as a team with a lot of young players, I think it's very difficult.
What was the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of trust in the locker room?
Well, it started at the beginning of the year when he named Dalton the starter, because a lot of that locker room was divided, wanting Justin to get the nod. And, you know, the fact that Andy came in, was a veteran, you know, it's great. And yeah, like he wanted to be QB1, but when you have a young superstar or someone that you think could be a superstar quarterback and that you drafted in that position, there's a reason why you did that. And in this day and age, I think what we've seen is that young players, young quarterbacks need to play. And it's almost unanimous across the board that they do. So when Fields got the number two role behind Dalton at the beginning of the season, that didn't help. If you go back to last year, toward the end of the year, I think losing to Detroit, giving that game away. It's not necessarily one thing, but there's a lot of, as you said, straws that certainly contributed to it. And then I think last weekend just epitomized the team and the state of the team in terms of where it stands with Matt Nagy.
So when they talk about him, Jordan, the in terms of what you're hearing, are they talking about his schematics? Are they talking about his leadership, his game management?
My understanding is the leadership element or lack thereof from Ryan Pace is a big issue. For Nagy, I think it's a combination, but schematically, as someone that's supposed to be an offensive coach and someone that has went through Trubisky as quickly as he did and was unable to get that going, I don't think that helped. But now it's really, my understanding is the leadership, the lack thereof with Ryan Pace and with Nagy, it's a schematic, but also just, I don't get the sense that he really connects with a lot of these players. And it's unfortunate because you look at that roster and they were healthy. I thought they were a playoff team, and obviously a lot of things happened during NFL season, but we're in this position, and I can't imagine a scenario where he isn't fired. And no Bears fans know this, but the fact that they haven't had a coach fired in 101 years during the season, I didn't realize that either, speaks for itself. But I think there is a first for everything.
That was Jordan Schultz with some pointed and pretty much irrefutable opinion on what's going on with the Bears right now. So, according to Sean Hammond from Shaw Media, he's saying that at the moment there is not an expectation that the media schedule is going to be changed at the moment at Halas Hall, that everything is still on track. What we have in their official media schedule in front of us, 10:55 a.m. is special teams coach Chris Tabor, 11:45 Matt Nagy, defense coordinator Sean Desai, and OC Bill Lazor, and players available and then a 1:35 practice with select periods open for photo and video. At the moment, we are told that that remains their schedule. So my head is spinning right now, not just because I'm trying to look at my phone and two different screens with the five tabs open on each one of them here, trying to keep up with all this stuff, but it's also how I would be advising the Bears if asked, because this is tricky. Like, can you let Matt Nagy stand there and nod his head and say, I'm not talking about that right now? I appreciate the question, and I understand that. Can you have sort of a non-denial plowing ahead of this and just pretending it's not going on? I don't think you can. I think it has to be acknowledged, and maybe the best thing you can do is be as honest as possible with everyone involved. And what would be the downside if Matt Nagy says, yes, I've been told I am coaching my last game. I have informed the players I am coaching my last game. They have asked me to coach this final game, and I will do so. And any questions about my replacement or about anything that happens in the interim afterward, there will be a time and a place for that. For the moment, I'm doing what I can do to prepare the Bears for this game, which will be my last as a coach. As weird as that is, you could do that. But then if you're reporting, when did you find out? Who told you? Who else was in the room when you were told? This is, we want to know about the process as much as the decision, because of the uncertainty of so many people above Nagy. And that's why the Bears have to be incredibly careful right now with some of the optics.
So how does that go if they go full denial? If they just say, well, this isn't true. Like how, if they just say this isn't true and that's the line, how is the assembled media supposed to go about it then? Be like, but they said it, but they said you're done.
It's a great question, Rick. And until a team actually, the first thing you would do is, how long is it? We're already at approximately an hour and a half since this news has broken. If it's not true in whole cloth, that release should already have been out.
True.
You shouldn't have waited 90 minutes. If, in fact, somebody saw it and said, what the hell? And it gets to you, and you have so the people doing their jobs have gotten this to George's office, and they're like, hey, boss, look at this. And you go, whoa, what the hell? Where did this come from? All right, here, on letterhead right now from George McCaskey, the Bears categorically deny, et cetera, whatever you have to say this is not true. You cannot have waited an hour and a half to do that.
Right. So, from the desk of George McCaskey,
Right, or Vinny Gambini. Everything that guy said is bullcrap. right? So you can do that. The delay in time tells me that they've done something other than that, which already means it's more likely true than not. If they're figuring out whether or not their timetable has been accelerated by this leak, there are some organizations where they're internally policing from where the leak has come, and they say, like, who let this happen? Who let this get out of control? Now we're not in charge of the timetable anymore, and we've invited all the media here, and here comes Hogue and Emma and Grody and Potsy and Wiederer and Biggs and Hub and Brad Pitt and Fats Domino and everybody. Here comes the...
And Hub Arkish.
Arkish. And the whole army of people who are there. And you're asking for it. Confront it. I would steer into the torpedo here. And I think the best thing the Bears can do is be as transparent as they think they can possibly be. Be honest about what's going on. Because the more you try to screw around with this, the worse it's going to get for you today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Kalen Kaler of defector.com, who covers the Bears and the NFL. And she's got some really interesting questions about why this ended up the way it did, starting a season as precariously as this was with someone as important as Justin Fields. Look forward to talking to her in just a moment. I'm Dan Bernstein. It's the Bernstein and Rahimi Show, so keep it here on The Score.
At the end of the day, defense, yes. You know, we were out there. We had an opportunity to close the game as a defense.
Well, you heard it in Robert Quinn's voice. You heard it in Jalen Johnson's voice earlier that something broke on the Bears, and now it appears the Bears are doing something about it, but in apparently Bearsy fashion. We are sorting out what happens now with the news that we received from Mark Conkle, the reporter at Patch.com, who reports today that Matt Nagy will coach his last game for the Bears Thursday in Detroit. A top source with knowledge of the decision told Patch. The timing is odd. The timing, especially with today and the media availabilities that are set. We don't know if all of these timetables and everything else, a hand could be forced by the fact that this leaked. Here to talk about that is a veteran NFL reporter, formerly with Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated, and now with maybe my favorite sports website outside of 670thescore.com. That would be defector.com, to which I'm a proud subscriber. Kalen Kaler joins us. She is on Twitter at Kalen Kaler. She is on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Hey, Kalen, do you see this coming at all this way?
Yes and no. Yes, because, like, in your lead-in, you mentioned, you know, the players seemed broken. Something broke this past week. I mean, all you needed to do was watch Robert Quinn's press conference and think, oh, shit, you know, like, something's going to happen soon. But then, on the other hand, you see the Bears historically have never fired a coach in season, and I know we've discussed that over and over again, but, you know, that really made me think that they were just going to wait this out. And you think back to last season, you know, the same losing streak that they're on their way to now. You know, they had that 6-game losing streak last season and nothing happened. I mean, I think I expected it more last season because it seemed like it would be appropriate to have done it last season when you didn't have a direction for the quarterback. You know, there were a lot of questions with where the team was headed and they didn't do it. And instead, you know, we had that ridiculous press conference in January where they made it seem like coming back to make the playoffs after that losing streak was the reason they wanted to keep Nagy and Pace around for another go round, because that really showed, you know, courage and heart and collaboration and all of that. So, you know, that's why I'm surprised, is because they didn't do it when it made the most sense last year. And it does still make sense now, but, you know, like I tweeted, as you mentioned before, like, you know, I don't know why you would allow this coach to start over with a quarterback. And I guess maybe they just really didn't think they were going to have the opportunity to draft a rookie quarterback this spring.
I don't know how you tell him he's fired and then sort of have a gentleman's agreement to have him coach a game. I understand the extenuating circumstances here of a Thursday game and the fact that Fields himself is hurt. So, look, here's your boy Dalton. Go have fun with him. Go play in the sandbox one last time. Yeah. You know, it's all really kind of sad, but it's also professionally unfair, in my opinion, because that's a national game. And even though it's the Bears and the Lions, there's some Thanksgiving novelty value there. That's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. You know, there's people weighing in on you and your future, and you got to stand there and take those slings and arrows. I still doubt. I have a reasonable doubt of this actually happening the way they say it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I actually was trying to do some research before I got on here to see, you know, are there any other examples recently of lame duck, you know, NFL coaches who have gone in to one more game or, I don't know, their final few games knowing, and the news is already out publicly that they will be done at the end of the season. And the most recent one I saw was, and I'm sure there's one more recent than this, but 2003, Jim Fossil with the New York Giants, he coached his last two games with the news being out that he would not be returning. And he was, I was reading a New York Post story, and he was quoted as saying that he wanted to get ahead of it because he knew the news would leak, in the way that, as we're seeing now, the news leaked with Nagy. So it isn't unprecedented for teams to do this. And I do think it happens pretty often that a staff is told, hey, if you don't achieve this by this date, or if you don't win this game, you know, we're moving on from you. It's just, how often does that actually leak and become public, which is what has happened here. And I think that's the difference. And somebody just replied to me on Twitter and said, John Fox and his staff, this is a Broncos reporter, John Fox and his staff were told in Carolina one day before the 2010 finale of the season that they wouldn't be back. So, you know, it's just like, does that, how often does that news leak before, you know, that coach has finished that game where they actually have to face the questions like Nagy is apparently, you know, going to have to face in about an hour, which I still can't believe, I still am going to be so stunned if that press conference actually happens.
Well, and also, regardless of what was agreed upon in any meeting as far as his severance or how this is going to work, and even if he said, yes, I'll coach one more game, and whatever the deal was, he can change his mind at any point because he's more powerful now in that way than he was beforehand. If he knows he's not going to be an employee, he should do what is right by him professionally. He should do what makes himself happier and looks out for the mental health of him and his family. At this point, I don't know what he might feel he still owes the Bears. It would be extremely awkward for me. Right. Like it, even for me, I don't know how many coaching firings have had the question of whether or not there was going to be a press conference, let alone a game. And I remember when the Bears fired Dick Geron, and he held a press conference post-firing, and he said that. And he said, I can say this now because I'm no longer the coach of the Bears. I don't want to take your – or I don't have to take your questions, and I'm not going to. And he kind of smiled his wry smile, and he walked away. You know, Ron Turner, when he was fired by Illinois, there was a press conference after the fact, let alone a whole game and all the attendant media involved in that.
Right. Yeah, it is going to be extremely awkward, but it's so Bears for it to go down this way. You know, I mean, and I think it's really interesting from a reporting sense, like what we've been able to learn this season. I mean, it's really, I mean, I'm going to beat the drum as always, but it's really sad that it's really unfortunate that we can't go into the locker room and really get a sense of what is going on with these players. Like, I mean, last night when I saw, you know, the Jordan Schultz report about, you know, the locker room, Nagy having lost the locker room, you know, I was like just so upset because of what we're missing by not being in the locker room. Like, there's so much to learn from the players just by watching them. You don't even have to talk to them. Just by seeing how they act and like how they carry themselves in the locker room that we aren't seeing. We have very few places where we can observe the players anymore. So, you know, I feel like a lot of that is missing here. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it is just going to be so strange for them to handle it this way. But the one way we have been able to see, you know, Nagy's sort of, I guess, the, you know, evolution of his coaching here is I feel like when he, in his first season, feel like he was really personable, really likable. I think his press conferences went really well. And like, obviously they were winning, so that's part of it, but feel like he was a good communicator then. You know, people liked him, people were drawn to him. And then we've just seen over the last couple seasons, particularly this season, his press conferences have turned into just sort of like a nonsensical babble. Like, there's nothing to even learn from them anymore. And his answers aren't really answers. And yes, they're losing, and that's probably why. But it's just interesting because he went from someone I think we all, especially in the media, like reporters were like, this guy is a really good communicator, to this guy doesn't make any sense anymore. And I think that's the biggest thing, like, since we can't go into the locker room, that as reporters and fans, I think, have started picking up on it, too, this year.
Talking with Kaylin Kaler of Defector.com. She covers the NFL, mostly, for them. You can say that about anybody, the Defector, as far as mostly goes, and that's why it's fun. What do we watch now as far as sort of the Kremlinology of this? Who speaks for whom about what? I don't like to get too hung up on optics, but it kind of matters who's speaking on behalf of the team because of the other moves that could be made here. Even if Ryan Pace wanted to speak, we know he doesn't, but like at some point, someone involved has to be saying, look, either George McCaskey just says, I'm doing all the talking, or he is going to deputize some people to do some things. They've got to be really careful with this.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. I don't think it makes sense for Ryan Pace to be speaking about this. And it's kind of similar to, like, you know, when John Gruden had to resign, they put out Mike Mayock, and everybody was like, wait, what? Shouldn't Mark Davis be talking about this? So I think it would make the most sense for McCaskey to be the one talking, obviously, because if anyone made this decision, it would have been him. You know, or I guess you could put out like Ted Phillips or, you know, somebody like that. But yeah, I don't think it makes sense for Ryan Pace. And you mentioned it. He's not going to want to talk. We know he's very press conference averse. But I also think it's a good point of like, his job is certainly not safe, and I would be stunned if they kept him, you know, going into next season. I think they really just need to clean house, and they should have done it last year because, you know, I'm concerned about what this has done to Justin Fields.
Yep.
I don't want to make too much of it. I think he is a very mentally strong individual. I don't think he struggles with the same sort of, like, confidence and, you know, mental strength, toughness issues that maybe Trubisky did, but I think he's definitely more of a vocal leader and you know, has the fortitude to sort of withstand this year. But I mean, we've seen him have some really, really concerning games. You know, the Buccaneers game, I think that was the one where he was slumping, looking just extremely dejected on the bench. And I don't want to make too much of that, but I mean, he looked totally broken in that moment. And that is just not how you want to see a rookie cornerback look during their first season. And so, I don't know, it's just, I just feel like, sure, he developed in some way this season. We have seen him grow. We have seen him make incremental improvements. So, you know, that's good. We've seen some growth in his play. But I do think, like, this year is just going to set him back in a way that, you know, if they thought they had any chance of drafting a quarterback, or, you know, if that was in the plans, and they should have, because if you look ahead at this draft class, like the quarterbacks of this draft class, we've known for a while, have been much less talented and valuable than the quarterbacks of the 2021 group. So, you know, they should have known that. And so I just don't understand why it was a good idea to waste essentially what I see as a really crucial year in Justin Fields' development.
I agree with you, and I think communication with him is critical right now, because I'm trying to think, if I were Justin Fields, I'd be really kind of scared and think, like, well, who else is getting fired, and they're going to bring in some guy who didn't draft me and maybe wouldn't have wanted to have drafted me, and where does this leave me on my rookie contract? That there needs to be someone in the organization with some kind of outreach to him at the moment diplomatically.
Yeah, it's the same pattern as Trubisky, who started with John Fox. And you know, that didn't work. And obviously, we can't say it's going to be the exact same situation. But, you know, I do think it's very disruptive to a quarterback to have them learn a new system in the second year and adjust when they're still trying to adjust to the NFL game in general. So it does concern me that there's just a whole lack of a plan here. So I hope that they do have some kind of internal plan, you know, for him to make him feel comfortable, because on the outside, it just seems like there was no advanced thought in this. And I actually remembered something. A source with the Bears told me, this is very early in the season when they decided to go with Andy Dalton as a starter, which, you know, I think was an interesting choice that we can look back on now and sort of, you know, try to analyze what that means. But, you know, a source told me then that Fields was pissed in practice about being put on scout team, you know, because that was something he hadn't really had to do, you know, during camp, obviously, because he got to take more reps with the ones And two, so, you know, a source told me that he was, like, visibly, like, mad at being, like, now the scout team quarterback, which is obviously something you want to see in a rookie who's yep. competitive. He wants a starting job. But now I'm kind of looking back on that a little bit differently and thinking, like, you know, it's possible he could have been mad at the coaching staff of being like, you know, why aren't I the guy? I don't know. So that's that. I'm sort of like looking back at a little bit differently now that I remembered that.
Kalen Kaler, thank you as always. A very happy Thanksgiving to you and family. If you're getting together with family, please, my warmest regards to your dad.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That is Kalen Kaler of Defector.com. Sage Rosenfels will give us a former quarterback's thoughts on all of this going on next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.